I'd like to ask the young people, the kids, teenagers and stuff, you look up here just a minute. I'd like to ask you a question. Do you all like to watch TV? Yeah, you like to watch TV? Can you watch a 1.5-hour TV show without getting distracted? That's like how long a cartoon show is, something like that. Okay, I'll make a deal with you. If you'll pay attention, I'll be done in 25 minutes. That's less than a half hour. And if you can watch TV that long, and I realize TV's more fun. But if you can watch TV that long, you can listen that long. And you know what? I got 25 minutes right there. That's so I make sure and keep my promise to you. Unless my phone quits. But I can watch that clock back there too. But I have a message that it's no different than the messages I preach otherwise, but I was thinking of you, and I want to make these things very clear to you if I can. So we'll start now. First, let me tell you a story. You hear us talk about Jesus a lot here. Jesus is everything to us. Without the Lord Jesus, nothing that we do here means anything at all. It's totally useless. We talk about him a lot, and I want to tell you about what happened to him on one particular day. And I'm going to warn you, it's a horrible story. It's not a pretty story. It's not the kind of story that you read before you go to sleep at night. It's not the kind of story that by itself will give you happy thoughts. There were many people who hated Jesus. And I mean they truly hated him. And they hated him so much that they talked the most powerful person in their city to kill him in the worst way that you can imagine. It all started very early one morning, and they began by beating him with a whip. But it wasn't just any kind of whip. Probably when you think of a whip, you think of the kind of whip a cowboy might have. But this wasn't that kind of whip. It was a kind of a short whip, and it had 9 or 10 leather strands coming out of it. And at the end of each strand, they had tied a piece of sharp glass or broken clay pots. And the reason is, when they whipped a person with that kind, it would tear the skin open. It would be like whipping you with knife blades. And they whipped our Lord Jesus so badly with a whip like that it's like it shredded his skin off his back. Some accounts of this kind of beating that they would give to criminals says that it would be so bad it would not only shred the skin, it would tear into the muscles underneath the skin. And could shred them so badly that sometimes the insides of the person were visible. Now, some of you may have gotten spankings from your parents. I sure enough got some from mine. And they're painful. But they're nothing like this. In fact, these beatings were so bad that many people died just from the beating. After this, they took some branches from a thorny plant. You all know what thorns are, the stickers. And I've seen pictures of the plant that they're talking about, and it has thorns on it about that long, sharp. And this particular plant, the branches, it's maybe even be like a viney plant. You can bend them. And so they took a bunch of this very thorny plant, and they made a circle out of it, and again and again. You know how you do a Christmas wreath? You know? Well, that's what kind of what they did, but they made it about this big. And then they acted like it was a crown, and they put it on his head and shoved it down so that all those long thorns went into the skin on his head, the scalp, and caused the blood just to pour down his head and face. They took a big, heavy beam of wood and they laid it across his shoulders. Now remember, these are shoulders that had been beaten. They're bleeding. They're open wounds. But they took this beam of wood and put it up on his shoulders. This was in the city of Jerusalem. And outside the city of Jerusalem, there was a small hill. The Jewish people called it Golgotha. But in Greek, they pronounced it Calvary. But what it means is the skull. And that's where they would take very bad criminals and kill them. And so they put that beam of wood across the shoulders of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they pointed him and they said, walk. And it was about 1.5 miles to get to that hill. The Lord Jesus was already so weak because of what they had done to him that he stumbled and fell. Now, it's bad enough to stumble and fall, isn't it? You've done that. Have you ever stumbled and fall, and particularly if you're like on a paved area or something like that, you skin up your knee or your hands or something? But imagine if that happened and your back is already torn to shreds, and there's a beam of wood on your back, a heavy beam, and you stumble and fall and you do a face plant. You know what a face plant is, don't you? You just fall down. That's what happened to our Lord. And so they called another man to carry that beam of wood for him, but he still had to walk all the way out to that hill. And when they got there, they shoved him down on his back. That raw, torn, shredded back. And they took of that beam of wood and they laid it under his shoulders and stretched out his arms. And this is gruesome, but this is what they did to him. They took nails about that long. They were square. And right here, between the two bones of the wrist, they nailed his hands to that cross, stretched out like that. Have you ever had a nail poke you? Have you ever had a nail go through your hand like that, or your wrist? Have you ever had anybody that hated you so much they'd be willing to do that? But that's what happened. But it's not over. They took that beam of wood that they'd nailed his hands to, and they put it on the top end of a pole. It's laying down. The pole's laying down there, and they stuck that beam to where it'd be on the top of the pole. And then they took a nail, and they nailed his feet right through the heel bone and nailed that to the post. Then they lifted up that post with the cross beam on it, and they dug a hole about that big around. I don't know just how deep it was, but deep enough so that when you put that post in there, it wouldn't fall over. And they didn't go over there and gently let it down into the hole. But they picked up that post with our Lord Jesus, with his weight hanging on his arms, or some of it trying to be held up with his feet, and they got it to that hole and they dropped it. And when they dropped it, the Bible says it pulled his shoulders out of joint, his bones out of joint. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. I'm glad it's never happened to me. I've heard that that is horribly, horribly painful. It pulled so hard on his arms that if you've ever seen a picture of a skeleton or seen a model of a skeleton, you know that this arm bone at the very top of it has kind of a ball on the end of it, and it fits up inside a bone here in your shoulder. And it's held in there by what they call ligaments. And sometimes you might see in sports, football especially, somebody will get their shoulder pulled out of joint. And it hurts. It hurts to get it pulled out of joint. It hurts to get it put back in place. But they pulled our Lord's joints out of place when they dropped him in that hole and then just let him hang there. I want you to think for a minute what it would be like to hang with nothing to support you, all your weight on two nails that they drove through your wrist. Your hands are out like this. Unimaginable pain. Have you ever heard the word excruciating? That word was invented to describe the pain of being crucified. But that's not all. They left him to hang there. Nobody pitied him. Nobody cared. They made fun of him. They mocked him. They had spit on him. The soldiers that crucified him like that took his clothes. And they didn't want to tear it into several pieces so that each one gets a piece of it. They decided that they would, you know what dice are? Well, they had something kind of like that back then. And they had a contest rolling the dice, see who could keep his clothes. But hour after hour went by. And when you hang like that, you can't breathe. When you hang like that, it pulls up your rib cage and you can't get a breath. And the only way you can get a breath then is to stand up. That is, push against that nail that they nailed your feet with. And you rise up and you take a breath and then you sag back down. And they would do that to the worst kind of criminals. Sometimes it would take them days to die. But the reason that they die, they eventually got so tired that they couldn't lift themselves up to take a breath. But for hours, our Lord hung there just like that. Hang there as long as he could until, and you know what it's like when you hold your breath a long time and how it burns inside? And when he couldn't bear it anymore, he'd lift up on his feet and take a breath. And then sag down. And he got thirsty. You ever been so thirsty that your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth and you do that and it sounds all sticky inside your mouth? Our Lord was like that. They didn't bring him water. They gave him essentially vinegar as a drink. And our Lord hung there like that for 6 hours. And then he died. Now there is nothing more gruesome than what they did to the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that it was so awful and he looked so awful. He'd been beaten. I mean, I didn't mention that they'd taken their fists and beaten and bruised his face. They pulled out his beard. Now you young kids don't have beards. But imagine that somebody grabs a bunch of your hair and just pull, doesn't just pull on it to make a little pain, pulls it clear out. That's what they did to him with the hair of his beard. And there he is. And then he dies. Now I want you to keep that scene in mind, and I'm going to ask a few questions and answer them. The first question I want to ask about that is we in our minds, in our imagination, we think about Jesus Christ nailed to a cross, dying in horrible, horrible pain. First question is this: who is he? Who is he? Well, you might think, well, you told us it's Jesus. Yeah, but who is Jesus? Many people think he's the best man that ever lived, and they're right. He is the best man that ever lived. He never sinned, not even once. He never did anything wrong. That's the best man that ever lived. But it's much, much more than that. He's more, much, much more than the best man that ever lived. He is the Son of God. God is his Father. Now, my father was a man named Raymond Terrell. And my middle name is Raymond. He gave me, for a middle name, his first name. Well, you know, Jesus' mother was named Mary. And she was married to a man named Joseph. But Joseph was not Jesus' father. God was. The Bible says that God performed a miracle, and he caused Jesus to begin forming inside of his mother Mary. And then he was born, just like you and I are, as a little baby. And he went through all the stages of growing up to full adulthood. He was a little baby. He was a toddler. He was a young child, and then an older child, then a teenager. And then he was in his 20s and probably worked with his father, his earthly father, Joseph. And he grew to full adulthood. But when we say that he is God's son, we mean more than he's just a human who has God as a father. We mean that he is God himself. Now, I can't explain that to you. But the Bible says to us that Jesus the man is God in the form of a man. The God that created the universe, that's Jesus. And he's the one that's hanging on the tree. Well, the second question is, why is he hanging on a cross? That doesn't seem the right kind of, the right place, does it? For a man who is God, why is he being crucified? Why is he nailed there? Why is he in such pain? Let me ask you this. If you were God, would you ever let anything bad happen to you? If you could control everything, and God can, who's going to stop God? If you were going to control anything, would you let people nail you to a piece of wood? I wouldn't. So why is he up there? Well, that's a good question, because he never did anything wrong. He wasn't being punished for anything he did. So why is he there on the cross? This is going to surprise you. God put him there. Now you say, wait a minute, I thought you said he is God. Yep. And God put him there. There's things about God we don't understand and can't understand. And so I'm not going to try to explain to you how that is. We talk about God, that there's only one God. The best way we can understand it, even though he's only one being, that one being's made up of what we might call three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son, God the Son, is nailed to a tree, and God the Father put him there. You say, well, I thought it was the soldiers did that. Yes. But he was the one that caused it to happen. Now the Father loves the Son, the Bible says. Then why would the Father put him there? I have three children. I would never nail any one of them like that. I would never make any of them suffer like that. Why did God the Father make God the Son suffer like that? Well, Jesus never did anything to deserve that. But the Bible says that God took the sins of all of his people and put them on Christ. And that means this, that God treated Jesus as though he was the one that did all the bad things we have done. You say, well, I haven't done very many bad things. Well, that's not true. But you say, well, I haven't done things that are really bad. I've never killed anybody, and I've never stolen anything. You know what the Bible says? This might surprise you. You say you've never killed anybody. Well, that's good. Has anybody ever made you so angry, though, that you hit them? Or if you didn't hit them, you really wanted to? Has anyone ever made you so angry you called them some ugly name? Do you know that when God sees that, it's just like murder to him, because it comes from the same kind of heart, same kind of thoughts that causes people to kill others. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever wanted something really bad that didn't belong to you? Say, yeah, but I didn't steal it. What, did you think about it? Did you want to? According to God, that's just as bad as if you really did. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I just want you to understand this, that when God sees you, just like when he sees me and all these grown up here, you know what he sees? He sees a very wicked sinner. So why is Jesus up there? He didn't do anything wrong. It says the Lord laid on him the iniquity, or all our iniquity. And it says for the transgression, that's a big word for sin, for the transgression of my people, God's people, was he stricken, was he crucified. Jesus didn't do any sin of his own, but the sins of other people were charged to him just as though he did it. And God is just. Do you know what I mean by just? That means he always does the right thing. And when sin was put on Jesus Christ, God, who is everyone's judge, did to Jesus exactly what he does to everyone on whom he finds sin. For you see, the Lord's suffering on that day went beyond being crucified. It was more than that. That's bad enough, but it was more. God, you've heard about a soul, the inner part of us. God punished him in his soul. Now, I can't describe to you what that's like. But I know one thing that happened. The Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken by God. What would you think if your parents kicked you out of the house and said, I never want to see you again? That's kind of what happened to the Lord Jesus. And he died. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. The last question is about this man that was one day crucified. The last question is, where is he now? You might think, well, he died, so they buried him. Yeah, they did. But he didn't stay there. 3 days later, he came out of the tomb, and 40 days after that, he went right into heaven. And right now, he is at the right hand of God. That means he's in the place of special privilege. He said, all the authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So right now, everything is good for the Lord Jesus. And why is that? Well, what he suffered put away all the sins that he bore, and there's no more sin on him. Now, here's the last question. What does that mean for you and me? You and I have sin on us. And if we come before God, if we come in the presence of God and there's still sin on us, God will destroy us. He will cast us out of his presence forever. But there is a promise. It says that whoever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and asks for their sins to be forgiven, and that means just put away, they will be. And that's what I have for you today. May God bless your hearts with it.